Good morning. Wow, what an honor, what a privilege. So thank you to Dan and Nardis and Chad. It really is a privilege. And the Lord just put something in my heart that I want to share today. And some of my comm group have heard me share a little bit of this the other week. But you know, have you ever watched a movie twice? The same movie twice? When you watch a movie twice, you pick up stuff you missed the first time, right? Always. So for those of you who've heard some of this, you're going to pick up something. That's what I believe. You're going to pick up something more. And it's really an honor. And I want to ask you this morning, what is in your hand? What is in your hand? And I am not referring to the sunflower seed. It's been interesting to watch. Some people did this, got it off the chair. Some people protected it with a cup. Some people have been holding that thing. And there's a reason. I think everybody realized there's a reason. There's a seat on every seat. So what could that be? We'll see. So I just really want to ask you two questions today. What is in your hand? And the second question is, what do you see? Now, I'm obviously not asking you what is in your hand. This is now a spiritual analogy. What are you holding in your hand and what do you see? So I want to go, first of all, to the Bible. And we're going to read from Exodus chapter 3. And I just want to lay the scene. Moses, he murdered a guy. And he's on the run. He's in the desert for 40 years. And then God calls him. Now, he had quite an amazing call. A bush goes on fire, which doesn't consume. And God says, take off your feet because you're standing on holy ground. But God had a purpose for Moses. And he called Moses out of a time when he was just doing normal life. He was herding the sheep. And I want to tell you this morning that God has got a plan and a purpose for you while you are just going about your normal life. And the purpose and the plan he has for you can only be fulfilled by you, even if you have excuses. So, Exodus chapter 3, and from 9 it says, and now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. This is God speaking to Moses. So now go. Go to grow, right, Trevor? Go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. And then the next bit, now the Lord had said to Moses in Midian, go back to Egypt, for all those who wanted to kill you are dead. So Moses took his wife and sons, put them on a donkey. This should be chapter 3, verse 19 to 20. Sorry, that was the incorrect scripture. But first of all, let me just say that Moses is standing there, and you know what he says to God? He says, who am I? Who am I that you should send me? And you know, that's how we sometimes respond to God. When God says, I'm calling you to do something, when you say, who am I? I'm a nobody. I'm nothing. Okay. So, I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. So I will stretch out my hand and strike the Egyptians with all the wonders that I will perform among them. And after that, I will let you go. He will let you go. We go on to chapter 4. It's coming. I have faith. See, this is the thing. I really just felt that God said, I want you to preach with no notes. And now that's a very dangerous thing. But it might be the shortest sermon you've ever heard, which is a good thing. And it's only happened to me twice before. The first time I forgot my notes, so that was pretty simple. And I had no choice. And the second time, and so this is the first time for a long time, so I don't know. It's a strange time for God to say this. But anyway, now the Lord said to Moses in Midian, Go back to Egypt, for all those who wanted to kill you are dead. So Moses took his wife and sons and put them on a donkey and started back to Egypt. You know, I think I've written down the wrong scripture. So let me actually go to my notes. This is the problem with technology. You know, there's something wonderful about paper, isn't there? Yeah. Paper always. Okay, so let me just read you the scripture, because I think this is an important scripture. Okay. Moses answered, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, 'The Lord did not appear to you'?" Then the Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" "A staff," he replied. And the Lord said, "Throw it on the ground." And Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, "Reach out your hand and take it by the tail." And so Moses reached out and took the hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. "This," said the Lord, "is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you." So God says to Moses, "Moses, what's in your hand? What is in your hand?" And you know, Moses looks and he says, "Well, it's a stick." I'm going to call it a stick. I know it's a rod, it's a staff, but today we don't know those terms, right? So I'm going to call it a stick. And when Moses looks at what is in his hand, he sees a stick. And sometimes when we look at what God has put in our hand, we see a stick. We see a sunflower seed. We see a pen. We see a guitar. You know what God sees when he looks at that stick? He sees Moses holding out that staff over the Red Sea, and it parts the Red Sea. He sees Moses holding his staff out over the river, and it turns to blood. He sees him striking the rock and water coming out of the rock in the desert. There's another time God sees in the future, he sees Moses holding up his staff. You know that picture of Moses as they're fighting the Amalekites? And when his hands get tired, other guys come and have to hold him up. I'm sure he was holding his staff like that, because the staff was a sign of God's presence. And so Moses says, "Well, it's a stick." And God wants to give us a vision today that what he has put in your life is not just a stick. It is something that he has positioned you for, he has purposed you for, and he's got something to do. Do you know what God sees really? That what you have in your hand is a seed. When God gives us something, he really gives it to us in seed form. Can we have that scripture in 2 Corinthians? Now he who supplies seeds to the sower and bread for the food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. He who supplies seed to the sower. God gives you seed. And so if I say to you today, what has God given you and what is in your hand? I think there's some people sitting here thinking, I don't know. I don't know what God's given me. Well, if you don't know what God's given you, how can you do anything with it? God is saying, I have given you seed, and you become the sower. The thing about seed is that it is supposed to be sown to produce a harvest. Do you know I looked up what it is. There's three parts to a seed. There's the coat, and then there's the embryo, and then there's the endosperm. And the shell of the seed protects it so that it's when it's time to be planted, it's still in one piece, right? So it's a protection. Then you have the embryo, and contained in the seed is the embryo. It's the DNA of the plant, of the tree, of whatever it is, that is the dream of that seed. And when God puts a stick in your hand, God sees there is a harvest coming. And that harvest is in the heart of God. And he gives us good seed to sow. The endosperm, Let me just go back. The embryo actually contains the DNA of the thing. It contains the miracle that God wants to do. But God puts it in seed form in your hand. The endosperm is the food that keeps the embryo alive while the seed is waiting to be planted. Now that might, a seed can sit in your cupboard on the shelf for years, for decades. And then when it's planted, it can then germinate. And so the seed that God gives us is for a purpose. It is for a future purpose. You know, the thing about seed is you have to sow it. You have to sow it. Now, I'm interested to know how many of you still have that seed? Who have you been sitting with that seed in your hand the whole time? You were the first hand up. I am giving you 200 rand. But you have to give me your seed. Come give me your seed. Come on, Ella. Ella, come. You don't want to. Who would like to change their seed for 200 bucks? You got it. But I need your seed. Ask and you shall receive. There you go. Ask and you shall receive. Was that what you said? Yeah, that's good. You know, 200 rand. Goodness me. There's a reason I did that was you might have just flicked off your seed. You thought, well, this is worth nothing. This is why did somebody leave a seed on my chair? You could have been 200 bucks richer because seed has value. Seed has value, but before you get the value, you have to sow it. You have to exchange it. And there's three things that need to happen for a seed to germinate. It needs temperature. It needs to have the right conditions. It needs to have water and it needs to have light. And when the temperature is not ready, when it's not right, you can't plant the seed. It won't grow. And some of us are waiting. God has put something in a hand. He's put something in your heart. He's given you a dream. And you know that you are here to build up the saints for the work of God. That's what 4:12 is all about, right? We are here to do God's work. Jesus said in John, yeah, listen, my work is to do the work of him who sent me. I'm all about God's work. That's what we're here for. And sometimes we are waiting for the conditions to be right. And Moses was waiting 40 years before God called him. So if you're not ready to launch out, that's okay. But wait for the go. Because the go will come. When the time is right, when the conditions are right, it will be time for you to sow your seed. Now, the second thing it needs is water. Ephesians 5 talks about how the husband can sanctify his wife by the water of the word. And I believe that the water is the word. Because before you can take that seed that God has given you for his kingdom, God needs to speak a word. You see, God needed to get Moses' attention. He said, Moses, I'm calling you to go. And sometimes we have to wait till God gives us the go. I love the fact that young people are as much part of the kingdom of God as older people. We had comm group the other night, and Trev says, there's two people got testimonies here today. And it's Simone and Daniela, right? So everybody say, okay, Daniela, you go. She says, no. Daniela, just say no. And eventually she wasn't gonna go. And then Simone shared her testimony. And then she said, I don't know where to start. And Fernando's like, well, just start at the beginning. Anyway, once she started, she shared about wanting to go on this camp. And I think she's there now. And she said, when God brought our family down from where was it? Witbank. He gave us the word go three times. And she said, you know what? God, I want you to give me the word three times so that I know that I need to go in this camp. And she said that she started to pray. And she prayed, and then she kind of felt she needed to fast. I mean, she's only 14, right? Something like that. So she said, I have to fast for 2 days. And then she prayed. But then she said something which was very profound to me anyway. God had given her a go. When I shared this word, that was another go. And then she said, as soon as I got patient, God came through. Isn't that amazing? As soon as I got patient, God came through. And sometimes while we're waiting to sow the seed, while we're waiting for the thing that God has put in our hand to go and use it for God's kingdom, he says, just wait. Do you know, he says, wait on me, don't wait for me. There's a difference between waiting for something and waiting on someone. If you wait for the bus, it takes a long time. 15 minutes to go, must be an any time. Oh, 10 minutes. You just wait. And you know what you do when you wait for something? You do nothing. You just stare blankly waiting. But when you wait on tables, you are serving all the time. You're serving people. And we wait on God. We don't wait for God. We wait on God and we serve. And so while we're waiting, God says, serve. Serve well. And sometimes people want to, they look at a Chad and they say, man, Chad, he's, you know what God put in his hand was like a church and all these people. And people want to follow him. And Nardis and Dan and the elders and Trevor and these guys, they are comm group leaders. And I always say, you know how they get there? Because in the kingdom of God, to be the greatest, you have to be the servant of all. You have to serve. And you have to serve well and for a long time. And if you serve well, patiently for a long time, God will bring you to where he wants you. So some people think, I'm never going to be that. But that's fine because in part of the body, you know, to move this finger, there's a little ligament. And without that ligament, my finger doesn't work. And when my finger doesn't work, I can't have a good grip. And every single part of us is important. Moses says, who am I that I should go? And maybe some young people are saying, well, this is for the older people. No. Daniela brought a word that inspired. Sometimes, Ari and Tari said to me yesterday, well, I'm so excited that you're going to preach. That encouraged me. So, you know, people, sometimes you think you don't have much to bring. Let me give you an example of the kind of seed that you could have. Maybe your comm group leader says, does anybody have a testimony? And now you think, testimonies need to be this huge, big, amazing thing that God did and he broke through and he whatever. But maybe next time, just think about it this way. You know what? This morning, I just opened the Bible and I felt the presence of God. And that's it. That's my testimony. I felt the presence of God. And somebody else is sitting there saying, wow, when last did I feel the presence of God in my quiet time? And something so simple is profound. So God uses everything. I want to go to the next passage of Scripture, and it's in Mark chapter 8. So Jesus told the crowd to sit down on the ground, and when he had taken the 7 loaves and given thanks, he broke them and he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people, and they did so. They had a few small fish as well, and he gave thanks for them also, and he told the disciples to distribute them. The people ate and were satisfied, and afterwards the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. About 4,000 were present, and after that he sent them away. Then he left them, and he got back into the boat, and he crossed to the other side. And the disciples had forgotten to bring bread, except for 1 loaf which they had with them in the boat. Be careful, Jesus warned them. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. They discussed this with one another, and they said, it is because we have no bread. Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000? How many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? 12, they replied. And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? They answered, 7. He said to them, do you not still understand? And it's interesting that the size of the leftover wasn't related to the size of the number of loaves. There was more left over with fewer loaves. Did you notice that? And straight after, Jesus has performed this miracle twice. Guys, come on. These disciples watch Jesus do this twice. And then they get on the boat with him and they say, "Whoa, we forgot to bring bread. We've only got one loaf." And Jesus is looking at these guys saying, "You got to be kidding me. You have got to be kidding me." And then they go on and they say, Jesus is talking about the yeast of the Pharisees and whatever. "It's because we have no bread." And what the enemy wants to do is he wants to diminish what's in your hand. He wants you to think that what you have, it's only one loaf. He wants you to say, "I've got nothing. I've got nothing to sow." And God is saying, "I have given you something. And if you don't know what it is, then you do what Daniela does. You get back and you start to pray. And you say, 'God, speak to me. I need you to show me what is in my hand.'" And the disciples were quibbling about having no bread. When God puts a seed in our hand, it is to be sown. And you know what? What you sow is what you reap. When we had our children, I always thought I was going to have two sons. I don't know. I just always thought it was going to be two sons. We had our boy. And then in those days, we didn't find out the gender of the child. And then I'm standing there. And as she is delivered, the doctor says, "Oh, congratulations. You have a wonderful daughter." And I'm like, "Oh, my gosh. What do I do with a daughter? I have no idea. I had prepared for sons." And Lynn and I, we discussed it and we said, "You know what? If ever we have a daughter, we want to have a daughter with spunk." Because Lynn said, "When I was at school, I was a bit of a nerd. And I want a daughter with spunk." And we started to speak over our daughter. We started to pray over her. We prayed into her. We told her, "Sean, you can do anything. Sean, you can achieve anything. Just believe it, Sean. You're amazing. Sean, you're fantastic." By the time Sean was, I think, 4 years old, we went to a parents' day at the school, and the principal asked Sean to show the parents around the school. And here was a four-year-old Sean taking people, showing them around the school. And I thought, "Oh my gosh, prayer actually works. Wow." And when she was 7 years old, she said, "Daddy, I'm going to make you a cake today." And I thought, "Well, this is going to be interesting. She's never baked me a cake." So I said, "Well, what are you going to make?" She said, "Cheesecake or something." So I said, "Listen, do you have cream?" She says, "No, don't worry, Daddy. I'll make my own cream." "Okay, and what about condensed milk?" "Daddy, I'll make my own condensed milk." My point is, she was someone who believed in herself. And so as parents, if you want your children to be godly and to grow up in a godly home, then you teach them to pray. You teach them to appreciate the word. You pray over them. You speak over them. If you're going to quarrel and disagree and be miserable and have no time with your children, what are you going to reap? Because the seed that you plant determines the harvest. If you want apple trees, don't plant a lemon seed. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes people sit there and they say, "Well, I'm just worried. I'm worried we don't have much food." Well, what do you have? "We've got a little bit of food, but I don't know if we'll make it this month." You know what you need to do? You need to invite someone for dinner. Come on. You need to invite someone for dinner, or you need to go and take them a meal, because when you sow a meal and you go and give the thing that you need, God sees your heart. If you're worried about finances, we run out of money before we run out of month. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's a problem. You go and sow the little bit you have. Don't take everything you've got and put it in the collection. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying you need to be obedient. You need to sow, because how will you receive a financial harvest if you don't sow a financial seed? It is a kind of a law of sowing and reaping. And what you want to see God do in your life, You prepare by preparing the seed. What seed? The one God gave you. Do you know what? It's not so much what's in your hand that counts. It's what you do with what is in your hand. What you do with God has given you, because we read it, God has given you the seed. It's what you do that makes a difference. You see, seeds need to be stewarded. We need to steward the thing that God gives us, and we need to steward well. Know the parable of the talents. And the guys had to go off and trade and do things. You know, I remember my son, he was a real entrepreneurial kind of a guy. And when he was young, he had a BlackBerry, because BlackBerries in those days were the thing. Okay, now a lot of youngsters have never even heard of a BlackBerry. So I am aging myself a little bit, but in those days, BlackBerries were everything. Until the iPhone came out, and then my son just said, no, he wants an iPhone. And he was like, yeah, he was a bit deluded. Anyway, he decided, how do I get an iPhone? And he started to steward his BlackBerry. Do you know what he did? He was talking to his friends and said, who wants a BlackBerry? I want a BlackBerry. Well, what have you got to give me? I don't know. I've got this camera. And he sussed it out. He said, oh, that's a good deal. He swapped the camera for a BlackBerry. And then someone else had a different camera that was worth more money, but that guy was used to that camera. He wanted this camera. And so he said, I'll swap you this camera for that camera. And the guy did it. And someone else, he swapped the camera for an iPhone. That is stewarding your BlackBerry well. And God calls us to steward the seed that he's given us well. This sunflower seed, if you go and plant this, you can have sunflowers. Sunflowers are beautiful. Have you ever driven past a field of sunflowers? Did you get that picture of all the sunflowers? Okay, I'll put it up. Let's just put that one up then. Look at that. That's it. The tiniest seed can produce that. If you put it in God's hands, and that's the secret. We have to take what we have, and Moses, what have you got? I've got a stick. Moses, if you are obedient with that stick, I will show you some stuff that you have never seen. And I want to go to the last passage, because this one kind of sums up everything that I've been sharing so far. And the final passage is from 2 Kings chapter 4. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, your servant, because this guy he was a priest, he worked for Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that he revered the Lord, but now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves. Elisha replied to her, how can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your hand? Okay, he used slightly different words, but that's what he was basically saying. What's in your hand? What do you have in your house? Your servant has nothing there at all, she said. Well, except a small jar of olive oil. Elisha said, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Come on, we serve a big God. We serve a big God. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons and pour oil into the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side. What would you be thinking when God says that to you? I've just got one little jar of olive oil. Now go and get hundreds of jars and start filling them. And as you fill one, you just fill the next. You know what? Faith has to arise. Faith has to arise, because faith is the thing that pleases God. And when you start to be obedient with faith, God will start to multiply and do this thing that he had in mind. She left him and she shut the door behind her and her sons, and they brought the jars to her and she kept pouring. And when all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. She was getting excited here. Bring me another one. But he replied, there's not a jar left. And then the oil stopped flowing. Wow. So she went and told the man of God. And he said, go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left. He has a woman, and the priest says to her, "What's in your hand?" She says, "Nothing." "Well, maybe just this little jar of oil." Maybe you feel you've got nothing. You've got nothing to offer God. Well, you know, oil speaks of the Holy Spirit. And in Scripture, we learn that we receive the Holy Spirit when we receive God. He's the deposit of the thing that is coming. He's like the seed of the thing we got to inherit. And she says, "I've just got one little jar of oil." And if you start to realize that even if you have nothing, if the cupboards are bare, if you're struggling for work, if you are struggling in your home, if you're struggling with addiction, whatever it might be, you have the Holy Spirit. Guys, that is everything. That is everything. But do you notice, when did the jars start to be filled up? When she started to pour the oil. You have to pour the oil out to get the jars filled. You can't hold on to your seed and still get the harvest. You know what I'm saying? You can't hold on to your seed and still have a harvest. If you want the harvest, you have to sow the seed. And that's what God is saying to us today. Don't look, don't let the enemy think you've got nothing. Don't let the enemy think, "What is in my hand? It's nothing really." You start to think about, what has God given me? He's given me a guitar. That's okay. Practice the guitar. Practice well. And in due time, you will be like Bryden, leading worship or whatever. But Bryden didn't lead worship today until he first practiced the guitar, until he got a heart for worship. You have to first steward the seed that God gives you. And the enemy wants to say, "You've got nothing." But we have everything in the Holy Spirit. So I just want to pray. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that we can surrender our seed for a greater harvest. Lord, help us to discover the seed you have put in our life. Lord, even if it was a dream that has seems to, even if that seed seems to have been sitting on the shelf for a long time, Lord, you may have given us a word. Revive that word. Revive that word. Remind us of the word, Lord, because the seed is still waiting to be planted, to be sown. And God, I thank you that you are the one who only gives good gifts. You give us good seed. And Father, it's not just for the few. It's for every single person sitting here today. It's for every single person. We need to surrender the seed to you. When we look at what is in our hand, we don't want to see a stick. Lord, we want to see what you see with the stick. We want to see what you with your eyes, Father. So give us that dream. And we thank you that above all, you have sealed us with your Holy Spirit. You have given us your Holy Spirit, who is the greatest gift of all. Lord, help us to share the story of our salvation. Help us to witness to people so that they too have got, even if they got nothing else, they have a jar of oil. And we need to pour our lives out for you. As we pour our lives out for you, God, you come. Graciously, beautifully, and you start to reap that harvest. There's nothing we can do. Moses had no power with his stick, Lord. Only when you breathed on it, only when he was obedient. And we need to learn the lesson. And so this morning, symbolically, we want to bring you our seed. We want to bring you our seed. We want to lay it before you. You know, let's just stand. Can we stand? If you still have your seed, I kind of felt a little bit earlier that maybe this is what God wants to do. If you have your seed and you think, you know what? This little seed, it's symbolic. Now listen, if you've lost your seed, that's okay. Because I saw some people sat on it and some people... But if you have your seed and you think, you know what? Symbolically, I want to bring this and I want to give it to God. Then I would just like you just to come and just put it on the front over here. Just walk forward, put it on the front, and then you can go back to your seat. So you can start doing that now. If you feel that you've got something that God has given you in your hand and you want to give it to Him, just come symbolically, put it over there. You know, it's amazing. It's amazing that we recognize God didn't really leave anyone out. You know, if you are sitting there and you say, well, I didn't bring my seed, maybe you're shy, or maybe you just didn't get it. Maybe just pray about it. But as I just look and I see all of these seeds, I think, wow, God has got so much to do in the kingdom of God in this place. He called us to this church, to this community, and this represents, wow. I'm just thinking, that harvest of sunflowers. So what you need to do is you now need to, now you've symbolically given it to God, you now need to steward what you have done. Don't just put it there and then walk out, because you know the parable of the sower, some seed, when the word came, some seed fell on hard ground, some on thorny ground, and some on good soil. So you don't want to just walk out and then an hour later you're fighting in the car and you forgot everything about what you did. We want to say symbolically, Lord, I have given you the seed. Now I'm waiting for the go. When God says go, we go. And we do everything we can for a king. Amen.